It will actually be shorter today, but that's because I think that's I think that's what the Lord wanted for us. Yep. No, don't go throwing that thing around. See, Tom's doing that mic drop thing. I think his part is done. He's just letting us know, I think. Good morning. This is a really, really great morning. And for me, it's kind of a funny thing because I'm totally reminded that my wife isn't home. And a lot of you guys are in the same boat. I mean, let me tell you something. The ship is not running as well as it typically does. I woke up this morning and said, oh, man, I didn't even get my clothes ready. Thank the Lord for clothes that didn't wrinkle, because otherwise I'd be up here like Mr. Wrinkles, you know? So you say you already are, but that's another story. So I want to give a special invitation this morning to our ladies and single folks that are here. Just appreciate you being here. As you know, our ladies are up at ladies' camp. I can guarantee the only men up there are people that are with the camp and cooking or something like that. There's nobody from our church that's up there. But here, we mix together. But if you look around, there's fewer ladies here today. And so today, though I'm talking to everybody, I want to kind of concentrate a little bit on the men. And I want to talk to all of you on this day. Because some of you have watched kids, and some of you have done projects, and some of you are just trying to keep the house together till mama gets home. I usually like to have the house all done, you know, nice, clean, everything all. I haven't even finished the laundry yet. It's like, this is ridiculous. What am I going to do? Now, she's coming back regardless. She didn't send me a message, you know, if the laundry's not done, I'm going the other way. She didn't say that, so I'm glad to hear that. I still don't understand why she likes me. She does. It's really neat. But the idea of being able to bless one another is really important. But I want to speak to all of us here today, man or woman, married, not married. But I want to kind of concentrate on men, and particularly men that are men who are left after the women went to the women's retreat. There we got it. Now, specifically, all you guys, your lady's not here today. That's good. This one's for you. Now, here's the weird deal. There's actually, you know, more to this than just that. But for now, we'll start off and assume that it's just to the guys. But ladies, if you kind of stay with it, because it actually does involve you. If you're not married, it's cool. Hang in here. I want to talk to you about the choice we're faced with every day. We talk about so much, you know, different choices. We have a choice that can lead to our demise. And we have a choice that can mean the demise of our relationships and even our reputation. And I want to use a story from the Bible to illustrate it. It's a really weird story. Dan's familiar with this story. We were looking at it at Life Group. And this story is really odd. It's a story about war, and it's a story about spies, and it's a story about intelligence gathering. Sounds really modern. And a story about a traitor that betrayed an entire city. And then the guy makes a really bad choice. And you go, maybe the rest of it was a bad choice. We don't, you know, we won't get into that too much because the story is found in Judges. Now you realize that there's two things, if you talk about two little motors in the book of Judges, there's two little motors always running. One of them is that the Israelites never seem to hang in there with God and just do the right thing. And so every 30, 50, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, God raises up a judge. And we found a very interesting verse in there. It said that he blessed the people because of the judge. He was blessing the judge. It wasn't because the people had changed their hearts. And that's kind of how I always looked at it. It's like, well, finally they got it. No, they never did get it. They never did. And you might be able to relate to that. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I don't ever get it. I figured that, you know, you're in the right place if you fall in with that sometimes. The house of Joseph. Now, this is Judges 1:22 through 26. Only four verses. Like I said, not a real long message today, but I want to draw something out to you. The house of Joseph also went up against Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. Beth is house, El is God. And the Lord was with them. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. That's very important, but we'll get into that in a second. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, "Please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy." So he showed them the entrance to the city. That's called betrayal, folks. And they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. And then verse 26, it's one of the weirdest scriptures. Of course, you know, I like weird scriptures. They speak to me more than the ones that we always get in Sunday school all the time. Now, of course, you may not have been raised in Sunday school, and so it's all kind of new to you. That's okay. But if you've been in church for a while, I almost said if you've been a Christian for a while, but sometimes you're in church, you're not even a Christian. But people who are involved in church and they're hanging out, and they're listening to the teaching and doing the different things, they get this idea that, you know, if they only know about 10 verses, they got the whole thing covered. It's like, no, this is not how it works. So this verse 26 is really odd. And the man went to the land of the Hittites. Now, the land of the Hittites is not particularly a good place to go, okay? This is like porn central of the early world. He built a city and called its name Luz, which is this name to this day. So the Israelites, Joseph, they conquered Luz, which of course is called Bethel. And they let go of the man who showed them the entrance to the city. And that guy makes the worst choice he could ever make. And he goes to the land of the Hittites and he builds a new and improved Luz. Now, Luz can mean an almond tree or a filbert. Or it can mean perverse. So the man was involved in changing perverse into the house of God, Bethel, and went and built a new perverse. Now, we've never seen that happen or been involved in it, I know. So this is like totally theoretical for everybody. Well, actually, no. All of us have done this. We've all done this. But we don't see it as clearly as what we see outlined here. Because a lot of times we think the Luz we're building is an olive tree or an almond tree or a filbert, which is a type of nut. We think, yeah, you know, it's just kind of, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. No, it can also mean perverse. So this is a great picture of what this unregenerate man thinks will help his condition. He's leaving perversity, but he's building another perversity in a better location. Now, isn't that an interesting concept? I mean, we could practically go home just with that, and you may get to the end of this and say we probably should have. When you think about it, what this guy did is he spiritualized ongoing perversity. He spiritualized it. And that's something that sometimes we do. Obviously, the right thing to do is to destroy perversity and stay in the city of God. But he didn't do that. He simply moved perversity so he could stay there. Now, I'm not trying to guess at what your particular perversity might be. We have certain things that leap to our minds. We go, oh, well, it's got to be like that. No, it could be as simple as being perverse about the things of God. Not the typical stuff of the day, you know, the computer, the porn thing, you know, just stating the obvious, that's what everybody thinks. But it's actually much more simple and basic and much more close to us. You see, this perversity doesn't require a computer or a phone or a magazine or anything like that. This perversity is a choice. Now, when I look at my life, I have a record of leaving perversity and entering the city of God. But unfortunately, it's not a perfect record. I've moved perversity several times. And remember, we're talking about all types and sorts and varieties of what we could call perversity. Because when we say that, we're thinking, oh, that's really, really bad. It is really, really bad, but it's not really, really bad for the reason you think. We tend to lump things into a word description, especially if it's a word that everybody kind of throws around. You realize, many of you realize, some of you are too young to realize, I suppose, that the Supreme Court of the United States, some years back, many years back, determined that certain things were obscene and certain things weren't. And the word obscenity had a whole different floating meaning at that point. So without getting into all of that and telling you what I think or don't think or any of that stuff, I kind of want to use the same example with the word perversity. We don't have a Supreme Court that's delivered an opinion on this. The opinion I'm really interested in on this perversity is, what is God speaking to you? Because if you're concerned about somebody else's perversity, you missed it. As one who has traditionally and repeatedly chosen not to go and rebuild perversity, but has a couple of times done that, I think we can all say that, yeah, I've been there. You go, well, what's your perversity? It doesn't matter what anybody else's perversity is, because a lot of times we're thinking we're in it for the almonds or the Ammons, depends where you're from, or the Filberts. Hey, no problem with that. The Bible doesn't say one thing about not eating almonds or filberts. It doesn't say a word about it. So I'm okay. Except that the word can mean perversity. And we kind of think that this guy's not building a city named Almond or Filbert. Is that okay? I mean, this is one of those types of messages, like don't shoot the messenger, but you recognize that the longer you go with this and the more you look into it, the more it can hit you between the eyes. Because we first might say, oh, he found out or something like that. No, that's not it. But most of us are going to say, huh, well, at least I don't have that problem. And then somewhere down the road, before the day is out, suddenly God goes, excuse me, but when you did that, that's what he was talking about. Oh, gee, I thought we were over that. Perversity is not just a state of mind. It's an actual location. But within that location, there's something funny. There's like a fight between perversity and the house of God. We really ought to be able to pick this up as Christians and see that sometimes that's exactly the battle where we are at. We want to live in the house of God. Anybody? I won't ask for a show of hands. That's a ridiculous question. Everybody wants to be in the house of God. I mean, you know, everybody knows the scripture. It is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than fill in blank. But sometimes we choose the wrong thing. Now, the funny thing about it is there's no freedom or life in perversity. There's no freedom or life. It binds you up. It wraps you up and it drains you. So when I think about that, I don't know why I've tried to move perversity to find life. It doesn't work. You probably found that to be true. And perhaps you're faced with your own perversity. I believe that most of us in this room, most of us who are in the sound of my voice over the podcast, you can identify with this statement that you're faced with your own perversity. You're tempted to simply move it. You know, if you really want to make this acceptable, the best place to move this stuff is into church. It's the most amazing thing. We want to just act holier. But what if the perversity is our own righteousness and we act holier? This is a bad deal. See, we're moving perversity. We've moved it from out here where we just want to feel good about ourselves. I'm okay, you're okay. And then we come over here, we become Christians, we become a part of a church, and the next thing we know, we're play-acting. God is calling you to abandon perversity and move your life to Him. That's the goal. That's the bottom line. But I'll tell you a little secret you may not know. And I tried to clue you in, ladies, single people. Choosing perversity is not just a married man thing. Choosing perversity. If you're married, you get a chance, talk to your spouse about this. But if you're not married yet, talk to God about it. Because I'll guarantee you, we all have this battle. This is our battle. You say, well, actually, I've got a more identifiable battle. Really? What you may have is a symptom of this battle. If you're honest with your spouse and they reciprocated honesty, you might just discover the greatest secret of all, that they need you in ways neither of you ever suspected. So if your spouse is off at camp and they come back and they've been in the presence of God, it might be a really good time to be really honest with them and say, you know what? I need you. I need you as we approach Jesus together. That's what I need. Because I've been kind of playing this like I've got my spiritual life, you got your spiritual life, and that is one of the highest forms of perversity. Because it's the same Jesus. And the fact that you marry somebody does not vacate the simple fact that it's a relationship with Jesus, not with your spouse, that saves you. It's a relationship with Jesus, not your spouse, that changes you. Now, we can all say, I've been changed by my spouse. I get that. I get that. Sometimes to better and sometimes to worse. Richer, poorer, sicker. Yeah, anyway, it's all in there. But if you're really honest about it, you may find out that you need each other in ways you never, ever suspected. You're in it together. We're all in this together. Don't just stay in your own little world. When we had small groups that we looked at, we call them community groups here, and we offered many, many different types of groups. And some of you signed up and some of you didn't, and that's not the point of what I'm saying. The point I'm saying is to go back to that idea, you're not an island. One of the greatest forms of perversity that you can do with the things of God is to say that it only applies to you. And I'm okay. I'm good. I find that that statement in this modern day is quite amazing, since Jesus is the one that said, why do you call me good? There's none good except God. I don't know, we might think about that. So I'd like you to invite your spouse to really know you, and they'll really love you for it. Nobody responds negatively to honesty and integrity. But ultimately, you need to invite God to really know you. Now, he already does. See, this is the thing that's really amazing, is the perversity that we oftentimes walk in is a perversity of trying to put it on so God doesn't find out that we don't, whatever it might be, or that we do, whatever it might be. Isn't that interesting? That we would actually think that we could pull it over on God. Now, we will tell people he's not like a great grandfather up there in heaven. He doesn't just sit up there. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. But we'll treat him that way. If you're honest with yourself, you can see where you would treat him that way sometimes. Well, you know, that wasn't the best thing to do, but there you are. Now, perversity takes many, 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 many forms. And if you're thinking in terms of bad artwork, we'll say. I'm not sure if that's a great term, but we'll call it that. If you're thinking in terms of bad artwork, and you think that's the only kind of perversity there is, and because you're not involved in that, you're okay, I got news for you. That's a symptom. It's not the disease. The disease is basically begins by trying to fool God and live a life that's not real, one that you start believing your own press. You ever know anybody like that? Say, yeah, I looked in the mirror yesterday or maybe this morning. See, when you invite God to really know you, it takes away hiding places from your life, allowing you to see yourself as God already sees you. Now, one of the things I'm interested in is, as I have attained a greater maturity, I would call it getting older, but anyway, never mind. My eyes have changed. They're not as good as they were. And I've noticed that when I do things like taking splinters out, it's a major endeavor. You better have the right glasses and maybe some magnifying and get it down. It's not the same as it used to be. I used to be like the world champion because I had 5 kids. We were always pulling out splinters, you know. It's like it was really good. Now I have to really fight to be able to see it. That is a form of perversity. If I go around say, hey, you have a piece of wood in your eye. Let me take care of that for you. You know what I'm probably going to do? Put his eye out. That's not a good thing. We're not called to put people's eyes out. And we're not called to remove planks, are we? First, we're supposed to take the speck out of our own eye. I don't know if you've worked with this at all. It depends on your age, I guess. You may need help getting the speck out of your own eye, too. It's a funny thing. So, when you invite God to really know you, which he already does, of course, what it does is it removes hiding places from your life and allows you to see yourself as God already sees you. Now, this is the single most important thing that any of us can ever do. And what it is, it's kind of funny how endemic this becomes, because we come to Christ, and how do you come to Christ? You confess your sins. You confess your wrongs, right? You get honest with God. And isn't it funny that after we do that, it's as if we say, thanks, babe, and run away from him. Like we're fooling him. But that's not true. So you can see where this is, you know, guy to guy. If your spouse is up at camp, hey, I'm talking to you. But if you don't have a spouse at camp, I'm also talking to you. If you're not married, I'm still talking to you. I'm talking to you because this is a part of the Christian condition. Now, this is not the one you want to have. We have passed from death into life. This does not negate that. I'm not trying to say that you don't know Christ. But sometimes what we do is we hide out and we move perversity. Now, what that means in actual terms is that God reveals to us something that needs to change. He desires to change something in you. But instead of changing it, you move the target. You move the target. Nothing could be simpler. Nobody knows. Well, God knows, but he's not talking. Like Bush's beans, you know. He knows, but he's not saying anything. The thing about it is, though, you can't rest with that. And he keeps coming after you. It's called conviction. And he keeps, you know, hey, come on, come to me, come to me. And what do? Sometimes we get honest and we go, I've got to come to the city of God, man. I've got to come to the house of God. That's where I need to be. I need to be a part of his family. But other times we go, found perversity again. Better move it again. And we move it. And some of us spend our lives moving perversity from one place to another. So we can hide out. So being honest with God is actually a very, very important part of not moving perversity. That's a strange message, and we're now done with it. But I want you to think for a minute about what would happen if you lived a little differently than you've chosen to. Because sometimes we get this idea in our heads that I'm good. If I could just quicken to you, just, you know, bring it to your remembrance a little bit here. Maybe you're not. You go, who do you think you are? I'm also somebody who's not. You go, well, what did you do? Well, thankfully, I haven't done any of that stuff. But I've run and hidden on God sometimes. I'm talking to the right group because you guys are really quiet. I know that you've done it too. That's what we do. It's okay. God's not mad at you, like he's done with you and washed his hands of you and all that. That's not the goal here. But quit moving perversity. Come clean with God. Come clean with your spouse. You may find that through coming clean, you actually have energized your relationship with God, and you can stop, get off the track, quit running. It's a good place to be. Lord, we just ask so fervently today that you'd help us not to move perversity. As you reveal stuff to us, may we, Lord, receive the truth that you know us better than anybody, and that you're not after us to hurt us, but instead to bring us to a place of peace and rest and life and purpose. May we not rest in a place of perversity. May we not be wrapped up in hiding out from you. May we come to you with everything that's in us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today, for bringing your word to us. We thank you for the example of this guy that did a bunch of stuff that was really rather modern, and then he blew it, made a terrible choice. May we, Lord, be delivered from making that choice. Bring us into everywhere that you would have us to be. Open us up. May we be completely honest with you. Change us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.